Welcome to Falun Gong News, direct from China and around the world, from the Minghui website. This week's top stories include Falun Gong Marching Band performs at New York Veterans Day Parade, film Human Harvest shown in the British Parliament, from drugs and despair to finding a true cultivation way, Australia, documentary Hard to Believe inspires discussion of global moral responsibility, Sundsvall, Sweden, traveling art exhibition offers broad appeal, and Black Jail in Heilongjiang reopens, detains 117th Falun Gong practitioner. Now for the stories.
Falun Gong Marching Band performs at New York Veterans Day Parade. Falun Gong practitioners from New York and nearby areas performed in the New York Veterans Day Parade on Fifth Avenue in Manhattan on November 11th, marking the 16th time they have participated in the event. The Falun Gong group featuring the Divine Land Marching Band was the finale of the parade, along with 250 groups and over 20,000 participants. Performances by the Falun Gong fairy dancers, exercise demonstration team, float, and traditional Chinese waist drum team were all warmly welcomed by the spectators. One Falun Gong practitioner in the parade said he hoped that many Chinese tourists could see the parade and learn about what Falun Gong really is and why it is so popular in the free world. Indeed, many Chinese were in the audience and were pleasantly surprised when they saw the Falun Gong entry approach. One Chinese girl said, "I could hardly believe that so many Chinese people were participating in a huge parade here in America. As a Chinese, I'm proud of them." One Taiwanese young man made a gesture saluting the Falun Gong practitioners and said, "They are great. I wanted to express my respect to them in this picture."
Film Human Harvest shown in the British Parliament. A screening of the documentary film Human Harvest, China's Illegal Organ Trade, was held in the British Parliament for the first time on November 4, 2015. The film was honored as the best 2015 international investigative documentary by the Association of International Broadcasters, AIB, and has received the prestigious Peabody Award. Human Harvest follows Nobel Peace Prize nominees David Mattis and David Kilgore as they investigate the atrocities of illegal organ harvesting in China, particularly of Falun Gong prisoners of conscience. They estimate that 40 to 60,000 people have been killed for their organs in China. The film has been shown in over 20 countries to great critical and audience acclaim. The AIB wrote in announcing the award, "Our judges said that this program effectively captures the horror of the story through credible testimony and proactive research. Complemented by outstanding production values and solid structures, this documentary told a story that definitely needs to be more widely known." Officials expressed concern about the CCP's live organ harvesting. A lord of the upper house said the film was stunning after watching it. He also wished to know whether the organ harvesting atrocities still continue. Dr. Alex Chen, a representative from Doctors Against Forced Organ Harvesting, answered the question. He pointed out that China's promise to stop using organs from death row prisoners was a semantic trick. He continued by saying that death row prisoners are actually still being used as organ sources, but they are categorized under voluntary donation, like ordinary citizens. However, the use of voluntary donated prisoner organs in China continues to violate international ethical guidelines. The World Medical Association states unmistakably in its policy that, in jurisdictions where the death penalty is practiced, executed prisoners must not be considered as organ and/or tissue donors. Filmmaker wants to raise awareness. Filmmaker Leon Lee said, "Facing such a crime against humanity, as a human being, you have a decision to make. It is a powerful thing to have more people know the issue. The more people know it, the more positive effect on stopping the crime there will be. From the feedback from screenings in many countries, including the screening in the UK Parliament, we are confident the crime will be stopped."
From drugs and despair to finding a true cultivation way. When he was a boy in Poland, Matthews believed in the existence of a wonderful realm, transcending all the pain and suffering of the world. He looked for the spiritual power that would lead him to that place without success. Eventually, Matthews became a hoodlum on the streets, addicted to alcohol and drugs, until a book permanently altered his life trajectory. Now this young man is happy, healthy, and has a good job. What happened? A troubled youth. Matthews grew up with his younger brother and father in a neighborhood where one's dignity was defined and protected by one's fists. His father taught him to always get revenge when insulted. In Matthews's mind, fighting was not for fun, but to protect himself or the weak. He rarely missed a brawl on his street. Matthews hated the smell of cigarettes and alcohol, but he was surrounded by them in his house and throughout the neighborhood, as almost everyone in the community used them for releasing stress. Gradually, he became addicted to them, too, although deep in his heart, he still hated them. Looking for another world. Underneath the surface of his often violent life, nonetheless, Matthews was on a spiritual quest. He read a lot of books on metaphysics, including books on Oriental meditation and martial arts. At the same time, he also took hallucinogenic drugs. I was sure that beyond this world, which was full of pain, unfairness, prejudice, and illusions, there was a real and wonderful world, he said. But those books didn't answer his questions. He pondered, what is the meaning of life? Why do human beings live on this planet? Do lives on other planets also suffer pain and injustice? What is the purpose of meditation and cultivation? He tried his best to find the answers. He searched for books on cultivation on the internet. One day, in an online bookstore, he saw a blue-covered book among hundreds of others, which immediately drew his attention. One of the reviews said, "This book can fundamentally change one's mind and help people to quit all kinds of addictions. It can change one's body from deep inside and uplift the cultivators to the realm of consummation." He thought, "Isn't this what I had been looking for?" He ordered the book right away. The book was Juan Falun. However, he gave up reading after the preface Lun Yu, thinking, "I don't deserve this book because my body is too polluted, full of alcohol and drugs. From now on, I will cultivate." Matthews kept trying all kinds of things in his quest to explore the spiritual world. He experienced some supernormal phenomena and was eager to make contact with lives at higher levels who might give him guidance in this chaotic world. Meanwhile, he took more and more hallucinogenic drugs. The doses kept increasing, causing his family and friends to worry about him. He felt lonely because nobody understood him. One night, Matthews took 10 times the usual dose of drugs. He said, "I woke up at midnight and started to cry out in desperation. I was so sad, and I didn't want to live in this world anymore." The copy of Juan Falun was sitting there on the bookshelf, seemingly covered with a gentle and warm halo. He recalled, "I suddenly felt surrounded by immense compassion, a compassion that can melt steel. Hope rose in my heart. At that moment, my whole life flashed through my mind, scene by scene. I realized that cultivating Falun Dafa was the true purpose of my life and that it was what I was waiting for. From deep in my heart, I had a wish. From now on, I will cultivate and go back to my true self." The next day, Matthews announced to his family, "I will change, I will quit drugs and be a good son." He was 19. A life renewed. Matthews experienced great changes as soon as he started practicing Falun Gong. First, he seemed to have a heavy cold. The symptoms included dizziness, blurred vision, low appetite, and aching bones. However, he remained calm, for he understood, "It is a great thing. It shows that Master Li is taking care of me and purifying my body. It is a necessary step for real cultivation." Every day, Matthews felt gigantic amounts of dirty karma and bad notions being taken away from him, and his body became lighter and lighter. Becoming a good person and living a normal life. Matthews read Juan Falun again and again. He joined a local exercise site in Poland and learned from fellow practitioners' experiences about incorporating Falun Gong's teachings of truthfulness, compassion, forbearance in his daily life. Matthews read Falun Gong again and again. He joined a local exercise site in Poland and learned from fellow practitioners' experiences about incorporating Falun Gong's teachings of truthfulness, compassion, forbearance in his daily life. Matthews moved out of his parents' house and moved to Warsaw. I wanted to be responsible for my own life and not be a burden on my parents. He taught himself English and became a customs worker at an airport. He said, "In my work, I encounter all kinds of people. I'm happy to help them and treat everyone kindly. Falun Gong teaches me to be a truly good person and an even better person. It gives me the criteria to measure everything with. I hope that I will become more compassionate and more peaceful through cultivation. I have sensed the power of compassion throughout my 8 years of cultivation, and I will strive to do even better."
Australia. Documentary Hard to Believe inspires discussion of global moral responsibility. The documentary Hard to Believe, which was screened in the New South Wales State Parliament House on October 28, 2015, inspired a discussion of moral responsibility among the academics, professors from a variety of universities in Sydney, medical doctors, transplant professionals, and lawyers present. The documentary is an investigation of a lucrative but vile business in China, where the government-controlled judicial system, prisons, forced labor facilities, military hospitals, and medical doctors created a network to harvest organs from living Falun Gong practitioners to sell to transplant patients by essentially killing on demand. The Australian organization Lawyers for Human Rights endorsed the screening in the State Parliament House. Member of Parliament the Honourable David Shoebridge from the Green Party presided over the discussion afterward. Author and investigative journalist Ethan Gutman participated in the discussion via video conference. Mr. Gutman was a reporter in Beijing when Jiang Zemin initiated the persecution of Falun Gong in 1999. He witnessed both the popularity of Falun Gong before the persecution started and the brutality of the persecution. When forced organ harvesting in China hit the news in 2006, he started a 5-year-long investigation that included field visits and numerous interviews of those involved. In his book, Slaughter, he estimated that about 65,000 Falun Gong practitioners were murdered for their organs and emphasized that it is still going on in China. New South Wales MP Mr. Shoebridge noted that the Chinese consulate had threatened members of Parliament not to attend a briefing on the international human organ trade at Parliament House 2 months ago. The briefing was tasked with urging Parliament to amend an existing law to forbid any unethical overseas organ transplants. Mr. Don Harwin, president of the New South Wales Legislative Council, received a letter from the Chinese consul a day before the event saying that such a meeting would, quote, damage economic cooperation between two nations. Ms. Katrina Bramstedt, a world-renowned transplant ethicist and professor at Bond University, explained the conflict between transplants and forced organ harvesting. She said that organ transplantation is a medical miracle based on organ donation, which is a gift of life, and not an organ torn from an unwilling victim doomed to death. She commented that Chinese government officials have never expressed any shame over forced organ harvesting because they have a different moral system from the rest of the world. Professor Bramstedt is concerned that a desperate patient might make an unethical decision to save his or her life. She also cautioned fellow doctors, "We must do no harm."
Sundsvall, Sweden. Traveling art exhibition offers broad appeal. The Art of Zen Shan Ren, Truthfulness, Compassion, Forbearance, International Exhibition came to Sundsvall, Sweden on September 28th through October 10th. The show drew broad interest from the news media and local residents. The major Sundsvall newspaper reported the event on September 28th with an article entitled, "Forbidden Art Has Come to Sundsvall." In addition to describing Falun Gong's principles of truthfulness, compassion, forbearance, and its benefits for mind and body, the article talked about the severe suppression in China especially the Chinese regime's forceful organ harvesting from living Falun Gong practitioners. The article noted that the exhibition had been held in more than 300 cities in 50 countries and also highlighted the efforts of practitioners worldwide to oppose the persecution in China. The Sons Vol government supported this cultural event and provided a location in City Hall without charge. Many people, including artists, came to the exhibition. Several teachers brought their entire classes to discuss both social studies and art. Here are comments left in the guest book by visitors. It is very touching because these artworks have extraordinary energy and they are relaying an important message. Thank you very much. These paintings have a high artistic value. The exhibition also educated me about the ongoing brutal torture in China, something I did not know about before. We should report this important information in our news media and include it in our school textbooks. Everyone needs to come and see this exhibition. Rolf, a Swede who helped organize the Sons Vol exhibition, has enjoyed art since he was young and has done some painting. To me, these are excellent artworks because they represent genuine art and carry important messages. Since the persecution began in 1999, he and many other practitioners have worked hard raising awareness of the brutality taking place in China. With help from more people, Rolf said, we hope that this suppression will end soon.
Black Jail in Heilongjiang Province reopens, detains 117th Falun Gong practitioner. The Heilongjiang Province Land Reclamation Bureau Legal Education Center reopened its doors in late October 2015 after being closed for more than 1.5 years. Known to locals as a black jail, the center was established in 2000 to hold, brainwash, and torture residents who refused to give up Falun Gong, a spiritual practice being persecuted by the Chinese Communist regime. The authorities shut down the facility in March 2014 after the arrest of 11 supporters of a group of practitioners detained there was made known to the international community, drawing widespread condemnation. The center, however, was reinstated recently, with Mr. Wu Kunli becoming the first Falun Gong practitioner sent there this year and the 117th since its opening in 2000. Mr. Wu's arrest. Mr. Wu, an employee of a subsidiary of the Heilongjiang Land Reclamation Bureau, was arrested on October 27, 2015, at the local police station when he went there at the police's request to discuss his practice of Falun Gong. Prior to his arrest, he had been repeatedly harassed by officers who attempted to get him to write guarantee statements promising to renounce the practice. His family found out later that he had been sent to the black jail on the day of his arrest. Their request to see him was denied, and they are very concerned about him, especially given that many practitioners detained there in the past had been tortured. Relatives turned away. On the morning of October 29, 2015, Mr. Wu's wife, son, younger sister, and sister-in-law went to the center with another practitioner, Ms. Jiang Qinbo. Ms. Jiang had been detained at the center and was also one of the last three practitioners to be released before the center temporarily closed in 2014. A staff member came out and questioned their relationship to Mr. Wu. Though they are Mr. Wu's immediate family members and allowed by rule to visit, the staff refused to let them in. They were also told to throw away the clothes that they had brought for Mr. Wu. Two officers from the police station behind the center then came over to check the relatives' IDs. They were followed by the deputy director of the police station. The deputy head of the brainwashing center was also present. Mr. Wu's relatives told the deputy head why they had come, but he refused to let them visit Mr. Wu. He said that if Ms. Jiang had not come, they would be allowed to visit him. He accused Ms. Jiang of being part of an outlawed organization. He threatened her with arrest as well. Mr. Wu's relatives stood in the cold for a long time and eventually left after being repeatedly denied visitation. Background of Heilongjiang Black Jail. The jail closed at the end of March 2014 after seven practitioners and four lawyers were arrested by force on March 21, 2014 at their hotel. The day before, they had gone to the center to visit detained practitioners. The incident was exposed internationally after three practitioners ended up in critical condition, four lawyers suffered broken bones, and four other practitioners were illegally sentenced. Word of the incident quickly spread, and many lawyers and citizens rushed to the center to ask that the practitioners be released. There was widespread international condemnation of the authorities' actions and calls for the practitioners' release. The center is known for heinous acts of torture, depriving people of sleep, burning the face with an open flame, hitting the ribs with a metal bar, forced feeding, and other crimes. Thank you for listening to the Minghui Radio Podcast. For more information, including news about the persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China and experience sharing stories by practitioners around the world, please visit our website at en.minghui.org.